Let's take a little bit of time to pray for all the people praying today, these different 30-minute intervals. God, not just hear their prayer, the Lord will quicken something in them, they'd never be the same. If you get people praying, you got the church on the move. That's if they know how to pray. I don't know how, but I'm trying to learn. I'm serious. I'd rather know how to pray and how to preach any day. Any day. There's three things you need to really bind the enemy in a service. And it's all got to be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled prayer, Spirit-filled praise, Spirit-filled preaching. That'll get her done, buddy. Every time. So Satan tries to hinder each one of those three things. He tries to hinder. A lot of times, God's man stands up and the preaching's anointed, but there's no power. I mean, it don't get past him. You get to the invitation, it's just locked up dead. Womb shut up. Only God can open up the womb of the church. And when a preacher preaches in power and there's no birthing power, there's sin in the church. God's man sows a seed, the church gives birth. That's the way God does it. That's right. There's no preacher that can get up and win a bunch of people to God without an atmosphere. Unless God does that Whitfield stuff supernaturally. He can do what he wants to. I mean, no matter how it normally works. Church is a bride. Church is seen as a woman. And church has to give birth. What brings birth? Travailing power. Travailing power. Because it looses God's spirit. It binds Satan and looses that sinner to come to God. That's the way it is. That's the way God set it up. And we got so many spectators and so few participators. That's right. That's where we're missing it. If you had told the old timers that you was going to have a revival without praying through, they wouldn't have wasted their time. I hope God will let me preach on that tomorrow, praying through, what that means. Holy Father, we bow our head before you, but we stand boldly in Christ, for we're in him. And we represent him. Lord, I didn't volunteer for what I'm doing. You called me and you drafted me. When you called me to preach, there's no discharge in that war. Lord, I can't believe you'd call me, but I know you did, and I tried to get out of it and you wouldn't let me. So dear God, we need to be equipped with something beyond ourselves. And dear God, if we're in a spiritual war, we need to work and labor from a spiritual vantage point from our spirit. Holy Spirit, through our spirit, subduing our soul for the glory of God. Don't let our soul dominate us. Let our spirit dominate us in this hour. Lord, we hold up all the people that's praying today. God, I pray. Lord, they'll feel the burden of the Lord. God, you'll get some of them in the spirit of travail, where the Spirit itself maketh groanings within us that cannot be uttered. Lord, how you use the human spirit to pray. God, that burden and travail, we don't even know a lot of times what it is. But God, it's you praying through us. And dear God, we claim the prayer of the Holy Spirit for this service, for our people. Dear God, a lot of sinners being prayed for. A lot of preachers being prayed for. Churches and people of God. Lord God, the most thing we pray for the most is the glory of God. That you'd be glorified and you'd be magnified. May God, we learn how to make much out of Jesus. We know he'll make much out of himself and out of us. And we praise you that you're a man today. God, remove every distraction. May he find that quiet place. God, were you quiet in his spirit? Lord, were you move out the noise so he can hear you and get direct, God, divine guidance from you. We pray for this service tonight. Pray, God, the enemy would be bound form as it were a vacuum over these very grounds, even where the cars are parked, and God put a vacuum where people walk to this tent. I pray they'll be aware of the presence of God in this place. Let that poor lost sinner feel the drawing power. Oh, Father, Jesus is the great attraction. And may the Spirit of God make him big to sinners. And God loving and powerful. God, may they fear you. God, those that are lost, show them they're lost where they can't argue with you. And those that are saved, give them assurance. And they can stand firm on their salvation. God, don't let us be satisfied with just crossing the Red Sea. God, get us to the Jordan where we die to self and live that life of victory, conflict, possessing the land. So, Lord, may your will be done. God, teach us how to pray and teach us to pray. God, let this word find that lodging place in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9. And I'm going to read this scripture, and I'm going to illustrate it by a literal happening in 2 Chronicles 20. And then I'll go to the book of Psalms and tell you spiritually what that means. As far as I understand, I studied this last night, and I was going a total direction from where I'm going. And maybe God will let me go there tomorrow, but total different direction than where I'm going. How God does that. And they had no idea as of going there, but I really am convinced this is the will of God. And you preachers know that's all that counts anyhow. I'm not here to impress you. There's nothing about me to impress you. Oh, no, no. I hope I got over that a long time ago. Want men's accolades? I want his approval. I want to please God. Hope I can help you, but I'm not here to get your brags. No, no. Here to honor God. Y'all say amen to that? Amen. I'm glad you do. Verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now the problem we face when dealing with the demonic or the satanic is always extremes. That's what man does. He takes truth and he takes it out of balance. When truth is out of balance, you've got error. And truth's got to be in balance. So you got two extremes here when it comes to the enemy. You got this crowd that sees a demon under every rock. They're casting out demons out of higher dryers and all this foolishness. And then that turns everybody off. So they throw the baby out with the bathwater and don't believe in none of it. And they're so passive. Well, whatever will be, we're going to let God do it. We're going to let God take care of it. That's not what he said in 1 Corinthians 3. He said we are laborers together with God. Now, when God says we're laborers together, think about this. Christ has two bodies. He received one at Bethlehem. He received the other at Pentecost. At Bethlehem, he became flesh and bone with blood running through him. At Pentecost, that 120 were baptized into the body of Christ. When he was on this earth, he used his hands. He used his eyes. But he could be only one place at one time, except through the Holy Spirit. And Christ limited himself to a human body. Christ told the disciples, when I go away, it's going to be better than the way you've got it now. If I'm in Jerusalem, I'm not in Galilee physically. If I'm in Galilee, I'm not in Samaria physically. But when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter, one just like me. And he's going to be with all the saints of God spiritually, just like I am with you physically. Now, if the church is the body of Christ, and we are, on this earth we're his hands, we're his legs, we're his feet, and he lives in us. And if the Lord's going to get something done on this earth, he does it through his body. And the body responds to the head. And the body is to be in such flow with the Holy Spirit that when my mind tells my hand to pick up this cup, I don't stand and analyze it and disobey. My hand automatically responds. That's where God wants us. Now, God has given us the opportunity to work. Now listen to this. To work with Him. And to war with Him. Those two things. God gave the church authority. And God's given the church power. And the church has been given promises. We cannot work and we cannot war without Him. Generally speaking, He could, but He don't. It doesn't matter what God can do. It matters what He's chose to do. We can't work without God. He normally will not work without us. Y'all let that sink in. So I better not be passive about this thing. I better be sincere about cooperating with the head. That God can use my body, my soul, my spirit to fulfill His will on this earth. Now, when we contemplate all the ways to work and all the ways that God could have done it, I think sometimes we ought to just call time out and praise God that He gave us the privilege of working with Him. Warring with Him. Now, those of the great generation, we've got a man, Brother Randy, in the church. He was born in 1922 or 21. I think he told me 21. So that makes him 95. He's one of the light. There's not many left. Any World War II veterans in his 90s now. Unless he got in, you know, told him his 21, he is probably 16. Hey, some of them done that too. But they're all up around 90 years of age. Think of the glory of just saying you're a World War II veteran. Just the glory of it. You don't even have to go into any detail. You might have worked in the mess hall. But it doesn't matter. You've got the glory of being a World War II veteran. Brother Andy's daddy was in the Normandy invasion. Then you think about that. To spend the rest of your life saying, how's there at Normandy? Boy, that makes chills run up my back. God lets us participate in warfare, so we can have trophies, so we can have Purple Hearts, so we can have Congressional Medals of Honor, so we can be recognized in heaven as God's soldiers. Boy, I'd hate to face MBNA, well, I sure would. I'd hate to face him never getting in the battle. That'd be a tragedy. I'll tell you something, God give everybody something to do, and it's a privilege to participate with God. To know that when the church is right, when we're right, Satan is like a gnat. He'll aggravate you to death. But he's defeated, and we didn't know he's defeated, and we didn't know God gave us a victory over the principalities and the powers of the earth. So without Christ, we can do nothing, but He works through us. So we're co-laborers together with God. Now, how do you do that? How do you become a co-laborer with God? Well, you've got to come to the end of yourself. You've got to come to the end of your ability and your activity and give yourself totally in availability unto the Lord to gain His ability. That's what we need. Then we become co-laborers together with God to accomplish His work on this earth. God works through the individual. Always has, always will. The Bible declares we are in a war. Now the war's basically, of course, been won. We've already read the last chapter. What hadn't been fulfilled is going to be. With God, it's already done. With us, it hasn't been fulfilled yet. With God, it's all done. Right now, it's done before He ever made the world. Because He already declared it. And what God declares, He's going to do. That's right. God made some decrees that can't be broken. But in our individual lives, we got battles to fight. And they're spiritual battles. They cannot be fought from the level of the soul, mind, will, and emotion. They've got to be fought from the vantage point and the arena of the spirit. Just like you can only worship God in spirit, from your spirit, in spirit and in truth. You can only do God's work that flows out of your spirit. Amen. I hope God lets me teach on that before this tent goes down. So we enter. It doesn't matter that I'm teaching it. The truth of it matters. We enter into the conflict knowing Satan is defeated. We don't come to God like Satan's got almost as much power as God. He's defeated. At the cross, well, let's go back where it started, at the virgin birth and the sinless life and the death of Christ and his burial, his resurrection, and you better believe his ascension. It's all in that to bring us the victory that we've got. Now to show us the power of the church and our participation in the church. Have you ever noticed, folks, have you ever noticed this right here? When a man's preaching, what does every preacher want? Well, of course, that's a loaded question. He wants God's power and God's presence. But he wants a response from the congregation. And if he don't get it, he'll start asking for it. And people think that's just pride. That's ignorant people. Now, if a man's preaching in pride, that may be. To shore him up, to make him think somebody's liking what he's saying, and God don't honor that kind of preaching anyhow. Why do we emphasize that in a timely place, everybody can't say amen all the time because you get him hear a man preach. An anointed amen and a timely amen is agreement with the truth. In the mouth of two witnesses, everything shall be established. And when you say amen to the truth, you're in agreement with the truth, and it makes God's objective truth, truth reality in the house of God, and it backs off the enemy. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody says amen, you get about five people, amen, at one time. It's like there's a release. You ever notice that? Why is that? Because people that agree with the truth releases God's power. That's just true. Have you ever noticed in a church service the high praises of God? Now I'm talking about people praising God in the glory. In the glory of God. Now we all praise God over excitement. That's all right. I'm not against that. I'm talking about spontaneous praise. I'm talking about praise that you're doing it and you didn't plan to do it. I'm talking about when God overwhelms you and you find yourself praising God and you get done and don't even remember what you've done. See, I don't believe that. I do. You ain't got to worry about what language it's going to be in. It's going to be biblical, decent, and in order. But some of the most powerful experiences I've ever had is when an old saint of God, it don't have to be old, but an old woman praises God in the glory. It releases the glory of God. It don't just release God's power, it releases his glory. And when God's glory is released, his holiness is released. And that's when you feel that cleanness and the presence of God gets deep. When people praise God in the Holy Ghost. Just like you pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That means praying with his aid. Praying with his direction. Praying with his power. Amen. So, when we praise God, when we come together, we crucify our flesh. I want to tell you something. You ever praise God and you don't have to crucify your flesh? That ain't God's praise. You got to sacrifice your flesh to praise God. Because you'll make a fool of yourself. And the soul despises it. The devil despises real praise. Amen. Now, so we come to crucify the flesh, walk in humility. Now, I'm not talking about flesh on display. People that get up to praise God and look around and see who's watching, they ought to stay seated. Now, that ain't God's praise. But listen, we praise God on the basis of who he is and what he's done. And it's truth. It's always based on God and not how we feel. Amen. The truth of this is illustrated in the days of Jehoshaphat. Now, I'm going to start at the middle of this thing and digress back. And I want to illustrate what happens when people cooperate with God, when they're co-laborers with God, when God gets enough of a remnant in a church that can overcome the enemy. Now, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. They've been besieged by the armies of Ammon, Moab, that's that offspring of Lot, and other nations besides them. They come with such a great multitude, Jehoshaphat knows they're conquered and they're going to be slaves, those that aren't killed, if God doesn't do something. And you folks, we better know we're surrounded by the enemy. And if God doesn't intervene, we're going to get shut down. You've got to know that. So the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel. He was a Levite and he prophesied in the midst of the congregation. And I'll get back to this. Jehoshaphat goes before God. He's seeking God. All the Levites and the officers, the elders of Judah are seeking God. All the people did. And when they did, God gave his man revelation, truth of what to do. If a church goes forward, God's going to tell that pastor what to do. Boy, there wasn't no amens there. I believe that. How far did Israel get out of Egypt before Moses showed up? Not an inch. All these churches don't want a pastor. I don't much think they're churches. Sheep got to have a shepherd. That's right. Well, let's not get on that. We'll be here all day. But the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 16. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but it's God. What's this man of God saying? He's come to encourage. He's come to build up their faith. The battle doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Now, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. He's talking about you're not going to fight with, watch this, carnal weapons. You're not going to fight with weapons of war. You're going to fight with weapons of worship. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's what gave them faith, that the battle's God's, and we'll just show up and do what he said, he's going to fight for us. Now look at verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Well, we better learn how to approach God. You bow your head, but you go in all the boldness of your spirit. Amen. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. That's the high praises of God. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, faith, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So when you believe God, you believe the... Listen, you don't take anything a preacher says without analyzing by the truth. You've got to be a Berean. But when a man speaks what God says speak, it's as if God spoke himself. That's why it's called the word of the Lord. If I'm preaching up here, what God would bid me preach, it's what he would say if he is here. That's just right. That's why we're accountable to do what God says do. Not my opinions, but what God says do. Verse 21, when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, or to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. These ambushes here are angelic warriors that God sends to confuse and defeat the enemy. That's what God does when God takes over a service. What he does, he either does it by the Holy Spirit or the angels. He drives back the enemy and looses his power among his people. And he breaks down the stubborn will of men. He convinces them. He draws them. He shows them the great attraction of Jesus Christ when God gets on the scene. Then the armies of Ammon, Moab, you know what God's been doing, Brother Randy? Everything I just said right there, God's been illustrating in this tent revival. We've operated so long trying to win men intellectually. That's why our church is full of lost people. Because they've been intellectual conversions. They've not been spirit conversions. You can't get saved if you don't get grown. Because God's got to quicken your spirit. God's got to give you faith. He's got to grant you repentance. Amen. Then the armies of Ammon, Moab, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir were put in such confusion that they began to attack one another the same way that the Midianites and their allies did in the days of Gideon. You know what Judges 7:22 says? And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. You know what God does? When the Holy Ghost shows up and the angels of God show up, God confuses the camp of the enemy. So the battle involved is here in our story. It's physical, but it's won spiritually. God's illustrating all this I'm trying to say. It's right here. Judah's army marched with the weapons of worship. Now notice this briefly right quick. Number one, the king sought the Lord. The pastor is to lead the way. People will never get higher than their leadership. Not normally. We see here verse 2, he set himself to seek the Lord, proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves to ask help of the Lord. What do you think all this prayer is today? We're asking help from the Lord. Even all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. What's that mean? They came to seek, to ask, to beg, to plead, to secure God's help. They come to get right with him. So the king sought the Lord. The Levites sought the Lord. The people sought the Lord. They acknowledged their dependence on the Lord. Verse 6. And he said, that's the king. Oh, Lord God. Notice this. He appeals to the covenant. You have no power in prayer except first you go through the blood sacrifice. You approach God based on blood. You approach God through the sacrifice of Christ. That's why God killed Nadab and Abihu. They took strange fire, didn't take the fire from the brazen altar. They bypassed Christ and entered the presence of God, and he killed them. What about that? He told Aaron, if you cry at their funeral, I'll kill you. That's what God thinks of his Christ. Amen. Oh, Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God of the heaven? He's acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Folks, that's not a cuss word. That's a shouting word. It means God's in control of all things. That's how I sleep at night. God's sovereign. Amen. What if I was just responsible and God wasn't sovereign? What if God didn't have power to change things? What if God just set things in motion? I like winding up a clock like the disbelief and just let it run out. Oh, Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God of the heaven? and rulest not thou the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there power and might, so there's none able to withstand thee. Romans 9 says, who can resist his will? And you say, well, I resisted his will. You did till he got determined you wasn't. Now, don't get hung up on that. Some people, he lets resist his will. I thank God he's determined to break mine. And if you're saved, you better praise God too. Because he'd let you resist him. He'd have let you reject him. He got determined he wouldn't let you. See, I don't believe that. I do. Let's just go on and shout. I'll shout later over that. Jehoshaphat acknowledged their powerlessness. He acknowledged God's sovereignty. In these verses, you see the omnipotence of God. He's all powerful. The omniscience of God. He knows all things. The omnipresence of God. He's all present. He's in the heaven. He's in the earth. All there is heavens and the earth. And if he's God over them, that means he's the only God. The king acknowledged God's faithfulness in the past. How was to encourage them? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Well, that's why I was praying right there. He said, Lord, we're your people. We're your people because you had mercy on us. And, you can even bring up your forefathers. Lord, you're just faithful to them. That's what he's saying. You're the same God now as you was then. That's what I talked about yesterday, Hebrews 11:6. He reminds the Lord of his promise to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. He reminded God of the evil of the enemy and their injustice in attacking us. Folks, listen to me. God let the devil nag you and aggravate you. But Satan has no right to even do that. He's got no right to touch one of God's children. And we need to call him on it. Amen. He talked about how God showed mercy in the days of Moses. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but rise are upon the Lord. We're looking to you, Lord, for help. That's what they're saying. You know, when Christ was on this earth, and the Lord cast out those 6,000, all those demons in that man, 2,000? Legion? 2,000 demons in that man? What did they beg Christ not to do? Not to send them in the deep. Not to send them to hell before their time. That means he could have. And they asked to go in the swine. I tell you what, the devil gets to, it ain't the devil, it's his demons. They get to aggravate me, I'd start begging God to send them to hell before their time. Amen. And I say, God grant it. I know there's another crop coming. Amen. Judge them. Judge the devil. Get mad at Satan. Remember what Satan done to your son. Remember what he's done to lost people and to your people. And get mad at him. Angry at him. Defeat him. Lord, I want to tell you what the devil's been telling me about you. And you need to take up for yourself. Amen. That's why when you pray for sinners, you get past them and pray for the power behind them against it. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. What insight this is to spiritual warfare. Notice here, the enemy is threatening their culture, their physical existence, and their spiritual existence. What's happening in America? What's happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? That right there. They're trying to change our culture. They're trying to destroy us spiritually. And if they have their way, they'd wipe us out, put us in insane asylums, or kill us. They've come to destroy. We've got a president that's come to destroy the heritage of the Lord. To win the battle, hey folks, listen to me. I don't care which party it is. If the devil's using them, whoever they are, we need to beg God to make public fools out of them and expose them for what they are. You did see what just come out the other week. Administration, Washington, D.C. spent money to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu in that last election. That's about, I think that's criminal. Of course, the rules don't apply to them, just the IRS if they come to steal everything you got. They've come to destroy the heritage of the Lord. You say, well, I'm saved and going to heaven. What's your children going to do? What's your grandchildren going to do? You know what? I think if I fumbled a ball enough, that if I get it one more time at the end of the fourth quarter and I can score, I'm going to grab that ball and protect it so King Kong could knock it out of my arms. We've been fumbling the ball so long, and God's give us another opportunity to score and show our children what it is to win and victory in the Lord. You know how they won the battle, Brother Randy? They got as close to God and as clean before God as they could. Folks, we need to quit worrying about the enemy and get as close to God as we can. I've told people this before. Don't always do it, but there's times I've attempted to. When problems come and the devil comes so strong in my life, I want to go off and pray somewhere. Get as close to God as I possibly can. To win the battle, you get close to God. He called for prayer. He called for fasting. That was probably a portion of the day. That's normally how they done it back then. Confession and worship. Listen, you got to pray. You got to get cleaned up. Then you worship in power. God said he inhabits the praises of his people. When God's glory is in a church, the devil can't stand it. If there's anything he can't stand, it's a praise of God. That's why he failed. He wanted it. As an assembly, Brother Andy, everybody in Judah, everybody, even the little ones, stood before God and asked for his help. The king and the people acknowledge they don't have the power against the enemy and they do not have the answers, but our eyes are upon thee. God, we're looking toward thee. We're waiting on thee. Then he gave the message through this prophet. So the prophet gives a promise. They listen and obey God's man. God came on Jehaziel to speak to the whole assembly. Notice, he expresses faith in God. Now folks, listen. The Lord will never leave his people ever without hope. Never. There's always hope. My pastor that ordained me told me, said, don't ever preach that you don't at the end give people hope. He expresses faith in God, trust in God, encourages them. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. If the king's not afraid, he's got the most to lose. If the king's not dismayed, if he's got faith, it'll get contagious. When that man of God walks in victory, it'll get on his people if they're walking with God. He said, don't look at the whole multitude. Look at God. Get your eyes on him. Get as close to him as you can. Don't worry about them. You know why? We're laborers together with God in working warfare. Now, folks, God didn't have to do this. He could have sent those ambushments and destroyed them. But he just, listen, God's more interested in what he does for you than defeating his enemies. Judah needed this experience. We need it to read by today. You need experiences in your life that you didn't read out of a book of what God's done for you, how God's provided for you. Now notice this, right quick. They position themselves. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That takes great faith when you got such a great multitude against them. They bowed themselves, humbled themselves. They worship God for his word. For his person, his word, his promise, and his victory. So they're praising God for the victory before they get the victory. Is that not what the children of Israel did? Marching around Jericho? Those walls didn't fall till they praised God that they failed. They spent 7 days. They marched 6 or 13 times around those walls trying to figure out how God's going to do it. They wasn't questioning if he was. They're just contemplating how he's going to do it. And Joshua said, don't you shout till the right time. And the shout of victory brought down the walls. God's not forsaking his people. Their worship was from a truthful and a grateful heart. Now watch what happened next. Then the Levitical choir led in a song with a loud voice on high. Voices so loud. Again, it's the shout of victory. When you sing victory in Jesus, the Holy Ghost ought to fill the house. But I like him victory songs. I believe the middle name of Jesus is victory. Amen. He will not be defeated. He's trying to find some people he can show his power through. Amen. They walked out in faith and praise to face the enemy. They believed God. They were established. They were established in faith. They were established in the promise. They believed the prophets because the prophets preached God's word and they obeyed it. They prospered. The singers are appointed unto the Lord. They didn't just send out anybody. They appointed certain men that they knew their walk was close to God to go out before the army to praise the Lord. They praised the beauty of holiness. That's the beauty of God's holiness. They praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Their song trusted and rested in the enduring mercy of God. God won the victory for them as they praised and glorified God. Well, the battle's won by faith, but praise was the evidence of their faith. With the heart man believeth. You believe in your heart first, then with the mouth confession's made. You believe in your heart faith, and you express it by what comes out your mouth. Words are powerful things. Powerful things. And if they're mixed with faith and the Spirit of God, they're deadly things to the enemy. 2 Chronicles 20:24, about done. From the watchtowers, they saw the multitude of the dead bodies falling to the earth. And the Bible says, and none escaped. That means no one escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil, and it was so much. Does that remind you of something? 3 days. Celebrating the victory and gathering the spoils. He that ascended first descended in the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He spoiled principalities and powers. That's what he did. He resurrected, celebrating the victory of what he just done. Then you come to the fourth day. And the fourth day, they assemble themselves. Praise God. That's when the Lord appears to those disciples. He walks in to where they are. He said, peace be unto thee. That's what the high priest always said when they come out of on the great day of atonement, out of the Holy of Holies. First thing they'd say, peace be unto thee, because God has accepted the blood sacrifice. And on the fourth day, they assemble themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they bless the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them. Now watch this. To go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Verse 27. Boy, we'll have something to shout about when God gives us joy over the victory of the spoils. How can a man go into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? That's the souls of men. Except he first bind the strong man and he'll spoil his house. There's nothing excites me anymore than seeing the Holy Ghost break down sinners, draw them to himself, and defeat the devil and gain a great victory. I'm telling you, I'm addicted to it. I love it. First man I ever seen get saved preaching was one of my friends in school, just started out. He'd come down the aisle. His son of conviction. He's a Sunday school teacher. I was 21 years old. He is 20. Sunday school teacher. Never been saved. He got halfway down the aisle. Had to go bring him to the altar. Couldn't even see. Collapsed. Hallelujah. I got addicted right there. I like when God breaks the power of Satan and reveals his glory. You know what they did after they got the spoils? They took time. Time out. We ain't going forward. We're not enjoying the spoils till we worship God for his deliverance. They thanked God and blessed his name. The Lord made them to rejoice over their enemies. That means the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. And when the Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God in your heart and the joy of the Lord in your heart, you ain't got to worry. That'll be real praise. 2 Chronicles 20:28. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries, harps, and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. They didn't even go back to their own house. They said, we can't go home till we go praise God for the victory. That's what some youth camps call the afterglow service. Amen. They marched into Jerusalem to the sound of harps, psalteries. That simmered our guitars. Amen. That's a forerunner of the bluegrass gospel music. And the trumpets. That's for the Cajuns. To the house of the Lord. They gave God all the glory. Now look at 2 Chronicles 20:29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And there was peace in the days of Jehoshaphat. You know why? Because here's what the enemy said. When you go fight them, you're not fighting their army. You're fighting their God, and you can't win fighting him. We need God to fight our battles. That's what he does. We'll cooperate. If we'll do it like God said, if we'll pray right, praise right, preach right, he'll do it. You know what Ronald Reagan said? You know what Ronald Reagan's national security policy was? Peace through strength. America ought to be so powerful and nobody'd even bark at us. Amen. Or wag their head at us. But we've got so weak we're being made fools out of. We're not weak militarily, we're weak in leadership. Oh, Lord, get me off of that. Every time God shoot that rabbit, Lord, help me. They knew the fight was not with Judah, but Judah's God. Peace through strength. Verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's answered all our divisions and church problems. Right there. God give us peace. In our reign. This victory was a warning to all the surrounding nations. This proved to be the invincible army of praise. So here we see God, the principle of God fighting on behalf of his people. And the glory of trusting praise and faith before the battle. Now, here's where this is for another day. Folks, why are we here? Because God wants us to participate in warfare. Don't be passive. Well, whatever will be, will be. I don't believe that. I believe man's got responsibility. Our greatest weapons are God's promises. That's God's prophesying. God's praise. Preaching of God's word. And prayer. To a holy God. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're to take this example of Jehoshaphat. Here it is. The leaders led in the way of repentance, faith, prayer, and self-denial. The people sought the Lord with their leaders. What good is it to have a pastor that knows God if the people won't follow him? That's one thing we're up against. When you got a man of God, got the mind of God, you can't get people to follow him. We hear God's man. We believe God's word. We learn to pray through. When the Lord gets ready to do something. Now here it is. I'm finishing up. When the Lord gets ready to do something, he lets man know what he's declared to be done in the heavens. That's what you're waiting on. You're waiting on God to reveal to you what He's declared His will is in the heavens. When you discover God's will, you cooperate with Him. Heaven declares it. Man cooperates so that what's said in heaven may be realized on this earth. Amen. It's not just enough God declared it. It needs to be manifest on this earth. And if it is, it's going to be through God's people. Faith moves heaven to earth. Amen. God moved heaven to earth when He saved you and put the divine nature in you and the Holy Ghost. Prior faith brings heaven to earth. God moves after we pray through. And I'm just going to mention a little bit of that and go and quit. When God, I'm talking about praying through. When God lays a burden on His people and they accept it and they stay with it and they respond by going to God and not giving up, holding up the promises of God. If it takes 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, or 20 years, they're going to stay with it until God sends a victory and sends a power. And when you pray through, that burden is released. And God lets you know He's heard you and He's going to do it. That's what the old timer said, getting the promise in your heart or in your hand. When it's just a promise, it's in your heart. When God does it, it's in your hand. I've heard some mean preachers say that. I don't know who originated it, but it's very powerful. So we cannot, now listen to me, we can't have revival in a church till we learn how to pray through. You can't. You know why? Because if God would send revival to a church that people don't know how to pray through, at the high moments of praise, emotion, and glory, demons would take it over. You better hear what I just said now. You better have people that can have faith to back that down when God gets to moving, or the devil will move in and take it. I've seen it. The church must learn to pray through. Individual must learn to pray through to see significant victories. Well, you got to live real close to God to do that. Praying through affects God. It affects the believer. It affects the sinner. And it affects the devil. Because it releases the faith of God, the power of God, the victory of God, the Spirit of God is released when we pray through. You say, why we got to do that? Because God told you to do it. He's trying to give you, He's trying to teach you His warfare and let you in on the battle He's fighting. That's His mercy, folks. Psalm 149:6. I'm going to read it. Just going to read it. It's for another day. Brother Andy, what Psalm 149 says is what I just read in 2 Chronicles 20 to the T. This is it. This is Jehoshaphat. This is the victory that was won. In verse number 5 of Psalm 149:5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. What that means? Let them sing in the glory of God on their beds. Let their last thing at night be talking to God. Then the first thing you think about can be God in the morning. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The high praises of God are from your spirit. That's energized praise that exalts God in all His glory. The high praises of God, like Brother Randy says, preach a big God. Oh, you pray to a big God. The high praises of God makes God as big as you possibly can make Him. And the high praises of God are done in the power of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. You know what the high praises of God does? Execute judgment upon the heathen, punishment upon the people. Listen to this. Is this not what happened? This is, Brother Andy, that's exactly what happened in 2 Chronicles 20. God executed the judgment upon the heathens and punishment upon the people. He backed down the enemy, the liberal judges. Hey, I don't believe in nothing liberal, but liberal giving. Liberal judges, atheists, ACLU, to back them down, to execute upon the heathen, that's the nations, punishments upon the people. I want God to smite Iran I'd like to see him save a bunch of their people, but I want to see him smite that crowd. I know he's going during the tribulation. Verse 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To bind means to render powerless. To execute upon them the judgment written. Hey, we need to quote to God, them judgment passages on the devil where he's defeated. The judgment written. This honor have the elite saints. That ain't what it says. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Having, brother, you come that plays the instrument here. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and mighty dominion. Every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. The devil's defeated at the cross. Now I'm stealing my thunder right here. And Brother Randy, you think about one highway patrolman can raise his hand and shut down the interstate. And there's not one of those cars couldn't run over and kill him. But they all stop. Because that uniform and that badge is all the authority and power of the state of North Carolina. He's got behind him all the power. Power's not in him. The authority's given to him. The power's in the government. Power's in God. But we represent that authority. And we're to enforce it. Hold up the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ and the word of God against the enemy. And claim him defeated. Amen. God send in the reinforcements. Ain't that what happened there? When they worshiped and they prayed and they believed, God sent the ambushments. If you want to get ahead of me, tomorrow I'll preach on Lord willing if he don't change my mind again, because he done changed it every day this week. Daniel 11 or Daniel 9 on how to pray through. It talks about that angelic host, that demonic host. Folks, we need to get serious about this thing. We need to throw in our pom-poms and get an AK-47, that double-edged sword, and learn this book and believe it. You can quote it, not believe it. Say it in faith. Say it believingly. And God will bless us for it. So I think what we need to do is what Jehoshaphat did. I think we just need to pray and seek the Lord. And then God's going to let us see things happen and we can praise him. I pray tonight, God, people will get to praising God and the Holy Ghost. And God will turn loose a birthing power in here and defeat the enemy. Real fire and the glory of God will defeat this false crowd and this false spirit. Bring God's power. Let's pray, okay? Holy Father, we're